Good morning, my friends. On this, the third Sunday of Advent, Father Carl, who was ordained last Sunday evening, will be celebrating his third Eucharist of the morning. So let's welcome our new priest.
Christ, Mass of light, and love. blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
It's not on. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. Please join with me in reading Psalm 126 in unison. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In this season of Advent, as we prepare our hearts, minds, and souls for the coming of the Christ child, and for the coming of Christ at the end of time, we light successive candles on the Advent wreath. This, however, is a special Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, when we light the rose candle. Why is one candle not like the others? Advent is somewhat related to Lent, in the same way that Lent is a preparation for our celebration of the resurrection at Easter. Advent is a preparation for our celebration of the incarnation of God at Christmas. And so Advent has an underlying message of penitence inside of its message of expectant waiting for the coming of Christ. The readings, especially the gospel readings for the last couple of weeks, have pointed toward the end of time. And the collects, that prayer we pray at the very beginning of the service after I say, "The Lord be with you and also with you." The collects have the last days and repentance for our sin as their themes. In fact, if you remember, today's collects ask the Lord to stir up his power and with great might come among us because we are sorely hindered by our sins. On that Advent wreath, the three blue candles mark the preparation we Christians undergo while awaiting the arrival of Christ on earth. Now, this can be a difficult season for us as liturgical Christians because we hear the lessons, the gospel readings, and the collects as they call us to examine our relationship to God, to one another, and to evaluate our spiritual lives in the light of the future coming of Christ. And in the midst of that, it seems as if all around us, the world is already celebrating the joy of Christmas. All around us, there's food and parties, shopping, music, lights. In the retail world, Christmas starts right after Halloween and then kicks into overdrive the day after Thanksgiving. And lots of people around us willingly participate in that schedule, as when they've barely put away the leftover turkey, they're putting up every Christmas decoration they own. While we try to stay in that expectant and reflective frame of mind which Advent calls us to. While that calendar of hurried Christmas is fine for secular society, it has nothing to do with the child we know is at the heart of the season. We won't celebrate his birth, the glorious and unimaginable incarnation of God, until Christmas Eve. And all the early bird sales in the world won't speed that up. Now, in the old Latin rite of the Mass, this third Sunday of Advent was known as Gaudete Sunday. It takes its name from the first words of the introit, the psalm which is sung as the ministers process in, which come from Philippians 4:4. Gaudete in Domini Semper, iterum dico gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. We light the rose-colored candle to remind us of that gaudete, of that rejoice. And in some places, the priests and deacons also wear rose-colored vestments on the third Sunday of Advent. Why do we need a reminder to rejoice on this Sunday? Well, because the happiness that comes from being surrounded by friends and family, and the happiness that comes from a full belly after Christmas feasting, it's that happiness we associate with this season is not the same thing as Christian joy. It's because of the penitential nature of the season that we need this reminder, this rose candle, this gaudete. Even as we evaluate our spiritual lives, looking for ways in which God is calling us to draw closer to Him and recognizing our imperfections and failures, as we look forward with both awe and anxiety to the coming of Christ, this Sunday calls us to hold on to our Christian joy. Our joy as Christians doesn't come from the world around us. It comes from our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Rejoice always, Paul says. But this isn't about wearing some goofy smile through life. It's not like hiding behind a mask from the realities of life, or even worse, trying to hide and avoid them altogether. This isn't some kind of existentialist escapism. For the Apostle Paul, there is a very definite reason that you and I are to rejoice always, even living in a world where there is war, violence, cruelty, poverty, and hunger. We are to rejoice because in the face of all of that, we know, as in Paul's words say, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're to rejoice because we know that having been joined to Christ in baptism, we will be joined to Him in glory. We're supposed to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're supposed to rejoice because, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians just a few verses earlier than we heard this morning, God has destined us not for wrath, but for salvation. The day of the Lord is not a doomsday, but a day of redemption for us, because we belong to God in Christ Jesus. And there's another reason for us to rejoice always. Despite the fallen, broken world we live in, if we look around, we can see signs of its redemption, signs of its righteousness around us and inside of us that signal the presence of God's Spirit. The saints continue to reveal holy lives. The word is proclaimed. The sacraments are celebrated. The homeless are housed and the hungry are fed. Acts of mercy take place as Christ shows up anonymously among us. When Paul says, rejoice always, he's not saying, cheer up, get happy. He's talking about keeping ourselves centered in the deep joy that knows, regardless of how dark life may seem sometimes, we are children of light, not children of darkness. Not because we're enlightened, but because we belong to the light. We endure not because of our steadfastness, but because of God's. Rejoice in this always, without ceasing, and in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul also tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean a life spent on your knees in a chapel or a cave, at least not for all of us. But on the other hand, a little time spent on your knees, whether literally or figuratively, must be a part of your daily rhythm if you're to remain faithful. In prayer, we're drawn into the intimacy of God's presence and nurtured by that presence and power. Paul says pray not only at regular times, and for him that would have been 3 times a day, but at all times without ceasing. He tells us to live a life in constant dialogue and interaction with God, whether on our knees or seated at our desks, in the chapel or on the bus, as well as on the street, at the computer, at the dinner table, in front of the TV, or with a newspaper in your hand. Such conscious contact with God, faithfully added to our day, actually brings God's power and holiness into our lives. The 17th century Carmelite Brother Lawrence famously called it practicing the presence of God. When our lives are in such constant dialogue with God, all that we see, contemplate, and do is held before God, while we're strengthened with a divine self-giving that happens deep inside of us. Here's the real power of prayer. It's our divine lifeline. It sustains, strengthens, and empowers us. Prayer links us to life's power source as surely as the cord on any appliance links it to the electricity that's coming out of the wall socket. Unplugged, it's useless. Unplugged, we're useless. Pray always, without ceasing, in every circumstance. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice here what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying give thanks for all circumstances. There are circumstances in life which no one can give thanks for. Not every circumstance that comes to us is of God's making, nor is it God's will. Evil is real and present in our world. Yet none of that, no circumstance in life, is beyond God's reach and God's power. God's power is such that even the worst evil can be overcome with good, transformed, and folded into God's purpose. The ultimate example of this, of course, is the cross. Those who wanted to destroy Jesus forgot all about the power of God. And so they simply created the opportunity for God to reveal the scope and dimension of his goodness and power. Do not give thanks for every circumstance, but in every circumstance, give thanks for the power of God, for the power of the resurrection. Thanks that our hope is in God. Thanks that all we see is not all that there is. Give thanks unceasingly and in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, this life of holiness to which Christians are called does not necessarily demand complete withdrawal from the world, nor does it fling us blindly into the corruptions and brokenness of life to try to fix the world all on our own. Instead, God promises that holiness will develop in us as we rejoice, pray, and give thanks always, unceasingly, in all circumstances. In this way, the God of peace is making us his own and giving us his peace. The God of holiness is making us holy, sound, and fit for Him in body, mind, and spirit. We light the rose candle to remind us of the joy we are to find in our life together in Christ. Our joy that God became flesh and dwelt among us. The God of hope is holding us in such a way, forming us in such a life that we may be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our minds, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, lonely, or in distress, I invite you to speak their name aloud. Lord, we wait for you. For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering. Lord, we wait for you. For the church throughout the world, and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray especially for John, Charles, and Dorsey, our bishops, Catherine, our presiding bishop, and Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury. Lord, we wait for you. For those who have died, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, I invite you to speak their names aloud. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord,
have come to worship here today, that we may have the strength to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you. We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also offer our thanks for all our blessings. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Lord, we wait for you.
Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. After the ordination on last Sunday evening, all of the priests and deacons lined up and they all wanted a blessing. There's this sense in the church that when a priest is ordained, they're kind of hot off the press for a little while. So I decided to just throw Carl into everything, and you did great. It's so good to have you with us. Welcome, everybody, to the cathedral. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift or an information bag, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so glad you're here this morning with us, all of you. Welcome, welcome. Keep your hands up until the gift comes, or they won't know where you are. Don't forget to sign up for our online directory. You can put your own picture on there. You can even get an app on your iPhone that has all of the other parishioners and directions to their houses and whatever you've given to the church. So go to our website and you can sign up for the directory. It's very easy. For some people, the holidays are hard. If you're someone who's lost a loved one, or perhaps you're just far away from the people you love, every Advent season we offer a special service of healing. That will be this afternoon at 4 p.m. in Cummings Chapel. And we have a couple of women who have recovered from cancer who are going to be talking about their journey, and you're more than welcome to join us then. This Wednesday, we have a tradition called Las Posadas. We have great Mexican food starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then we go and knock on the innkeeper's doors all over the church, and they tell us that their inns are full. So come and join us for a Las Posadas party on Wednesday. And kids, what's coming up next Sunday? Can anybody tell me? The pageant, the Christmas pageant. There's a rehearsal next Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Children of all ages, grown-ups, we want everybody to take part in the pageant. Remember that even the littlest guys can be sheep, and when they wander, it's in character. So we hope that everybody will be in the pageant. The pageant will be next Sunday at 9 o'clock. And our director, Cheryl over here, is looking for people who are very able-bodied. Are you willing to, we have a nursing home a block away, and those people love to see children. It brings them such joy. So if you're strong and able-bodied and you're willing to push a wheelchair one block, then please see Cheryl. Cheryl, can you wave your hand? There she is. If you're able to do that next week, to push someone over here so that they can see the pageant, we'd be very grateful. Thank you. Christmas flower donation envelopes are in your pews. People like to give flowers in memory or in honor of loved ones at this season. And don't forget, Christmas Eve services, 4 o'clock for children and families, which I'll be doing, 6 o'clock. The bishop will be here at 6 o'clock. And at midnight mass, which starts at 11, I will be doing the midnight mass. So 4, 6, 11, and then the next morning at 10:30, Christmas morning. And on New Year's Eve, we have a festival of lessons and carols at 5 p.m. And now before we have our Eucharist, we need to bless an icon, but this is one heck of an icon, isn't it? Can everyone see? This is a depiction of the images of the four gospelers, and it was painted by Susan Towson. Susan, where are you? She's over in the transept there. This is an extraordinary piece, and I want to leave it up after church for any of you who want to look at it, but it needs to be blessed now that it's finished. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for these wonderful works of art which serve as tools for devotion. And we ask that this icon would inspire people to contemplate the writing of your Gospels and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that your blessing would rest upon it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is our right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body because we all share one bread, one cup.
And now let us pray the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and we have never too much time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.